Second Thessalonians chapter 5, or excuse me, Second Corinthians. You're going to have to bear with me. If I just fall over and pass out, just scoop me up, all right? I'm going to sit down here in a minute. Huh? You know what I meant. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Let me get my Bible pulled up here. And I'm going to do something. I like doing this. Some of you have already seen this. I like talking about it. And I was thinking about the people in Kenya this morning and just kind of thinking about wanting to be a blessing out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Let me ask you a question. Is your house going to dissolve? It absolutely is. It's going to turn back into the dust of the earth. That's where it came from. And when they put people in the grave, now we embalm people, but sooner or later, all that's going to go away. And we will be dissolved. Even if it doesn't happen, even if you die and it doesn't happen before the Lord comes, when He's done with His earth, what's He going to do? He's going to burn the whole universe with a fervent heat, and all the elements are going to be dissolved. Everything that exists in this universe is going to be turned into nothing. That's where it came. That's what it was when it started. Amen. That's where you were when God got a hold of you. Amen. You were nothing, and God turned you into something. But anyway, he said, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Now, what I've been talking about in the last few Sundays is this... this tabernacle, a building of God, a house not made with hands. Okay? And I'm leading up to something, and I'm not going to get there today. I don't know if I'll get there next week or not. But I'm leading up to something that is absolutely relevant and pertinent, I think, for us to understand. If God doesn't dwell in a temple made with hands, and you're that temple, I don't think any generation has ever seen or even conceived of the thought of this body being the temple of God. Can it be rebuilt by man? Okay? No generation before us, I don't think, could have ever even pondered that. Now we can, because now we're seeing it. Let me just kind of preface this. I watched a video Thursday night, waiting for Caleb for basketball practice. The woman who invented, and she kept talking about the thing that she invented. She was very egotistical about it. She invented the method that the genetic scientists are using right now to take live DNA from a pig or a goat or a cow or a chicken or a human baby, and take out part of that genetic code and replace it with something different. She invented that process. Okay? And she said, human trials will probably begin within the next 10 years. What she means by that is, within the next 10 years, there are going to be people who have their genes edited by man. That, in my opinion, constitutes a house built by man, not by God. Amen? That's where I'm going with this. Not going to get there today. All right? All right. So he said, built by God's own hand. That's where we left off last Sunday. Now I want you to take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" The body is the temple of God. We know that. We understand that. The body. When Jesus said, "Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days," they argued with him. They said, we build this thing 46 years. You're going to tear it down and rebuild it in 3 days. But they wist not that he was speaking of the temple of his body. So we know what the temple of God is. We know what that is. Think about this. 2 Thessalonians 2. We know that the man of sin, the son of perdition, is going to exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth where? in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Where is he going to sit? If we know now that this is the temple, where's that Antichrist, where's that man of sin going to reign from? It's like the ultimate of demon possession is what it is. Okay, and it's unreversible. At that point, it's unreversible. So I want you to, if you say, well, I'm not sure about that, let me run through something here and let me show you how you were made. This is when he said that we're the temple of God. That's not just some spiritual, metaphorical, it makes for a nice fuzzy thought, but it's not really the temple. Our body really isn't a temple. Let me correct you on that. Okay, and I'm going to show it to you. Revelation chapter 4. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on that throne. Now, I like that.
Yes.
For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are?
One.
Amen. Amen. All right. The NIV in that passage says someone was sitting on it. That means John did not know who that was. Now, I don't think John is that stupid. I think that was put there by someone who wants to sit on that throne. That's 2 Thessalonians 2. That's Ezekiel 28. I mean, it's all through the Bible. I will sit in the seat of God is what the Prince of Tyrus said. So anyway, we have one sitting on the throne. And he that sat to look was look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. John is being allowed to see this scene. Ezekiel got a glimpse of it. Moses, we're told in the Bible, when God told Moses to build the tabernacle, he said, make sure that you build it the way that you saw it. Moses was allowed to see the temple of God in heaven. And God said, make sure when you build it, that it's patterned after that. I'm going to show it to you, and I want you to build it just like that. There's some people who had that gift. You can just kind of draw out what you want. Some people say, I got that. I know how to do that. And God gave Moses, and I can't remember all their names, but there were several men and people that God raised up at that time that he had given them wisdom on how to do these things. And boy, they did it. But they did it exactly. What's in heaven must match what is in earth, and what is in earth must match what is in heaven. Amen? Okay, so now watch this. Here's what we're going to do. Okay? We're going to take a look at your guts. Okay? That's you. That's me. And I'm going to show you the temple of God here. I'm going to show you what that is. And we're going to follow the Word of God. First thing I want to show you is that when John was in the Spirit and he looked upon that, he saw a throne was set in heaven and one sat on that throne. If you were to just take a wild guess, what would you say the throne of man is? It's his heart. That's where God lives right now. He sits in the seat of authority. The heart is also connected to the soul, but he sits there in the heart of man. I ask Jesus into not my liver, not my stomach, not my lungs. I ask Jesus into my heart. And right now, God, if you believe the Bible and God has given you that new birth, God sits on the throne of your heart. The heart is what dictates the actions of man. Amen? That's the seat of authority. So from the heart, these things proceed, the Bible says. So here is God sitting on the throne of your heart. Now here's something very interesting to me. If you notice that, let me open up my Bible because I don't think I have it here. I'm looking for the 4 living creatures that John saw. Revelation chapter 4. Who can find that for me? There's 4 living creatures, 4 beasts, the Bible says. Let's see here. Yeah, here it is. I left it out. The 4 beasts in verse 6, full of eyes before and behind. There's 4 beasts here that are holding up the throne of God. And you get a picture of that, you get a better picture of it in Ezekiel. Ezekiel saw the throne of God, and he saw these 4 angels, what he called these living creatures. They were cherubims. And they four suspended the throne of Almighty God. They carried him about. You've ever seen somebody of big persuasion or a king back in the old days or a queen or something like that? They never walked on common ground. They were always borne about. They were carried about. God's throne is carried by four living creatures. In your heart, you have four chambers that take the blood. I like this now. I'm going to talk. I like this. That takes the blood that keeps you alive. If you don't have blood, you're not alive. Amen? It takes the blood and sends it to all the members of the body. Think of who we are. We're members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And it's His blood. Amen? It is His blood. It is His nourishment. It is His that blood carries nourishment. It carries oxygen to our cells. It carries that sugar to our cells that we need. It does all of that. But here we have four living creatures, and your heart has four chambers. I think there's room in each chamber for a book called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I like it. I get happy about that. I am starving to death. I get happy about this stuff. Amen? So anyway, so there's the four living creatures. All right? So that's in the heart. Now, watch this. He said, round about the throne were four and 20 seats. I'm going to get to that here in a minute. I want you to notice that in verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. I want you to think about lightning and thunder. Have you ever listened, you ever put a stethoscope to your heart and listen to it? What does it sound like? It sounds like thunder. Okay? Right now, so does my stomach. Listen, it sounds like thunder. Amen? Okay? But here's the thing. Lightning, the heart is controlled by electrical impulses. Lightning. And if you happen to crash while on the operating table, they'll shoot you with more lightning than you'll ever want. Amen? There's the lightning. There's the thunder. Where's your voice box? Right here. Isn't that neat? God didn't put it here. Put it right here in the temple where it's supposed to be. Well, that's good, isn't it? Okay. Let's see here. Help me find. Oh, yeah, here we go. Verse 5. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, I want you to think about this. The spirit. The word spirit, even in the Greek, it's the word pneuma. And George, Sterling, you guys, you've used pneumatic tools. How are they operated? By air. Pneuma and spirit is air. It is breath. It's what it means. Okay? All Scripture is given by inspiration. It means it's God-breathed. Inspiration of God. Respiration. Inspiration. All has to do with breathing. So, in your temple, you've got two things that do the breathing for you. Okay? Let me show you a picture of it. I'll get to that in a minute. Those two things right there, think of one representing the Old Testament, one representing the New Testament. Because God gave you two of them, two witnesses, two breaths. Amen? He's going to pour His Spirit out once again on this earth. I think He's going to pour it out to Israel. Amen? He told Ezekiel, prophesy to the four what? Winds. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Prophesy to them and so that they'll come and breathe life into these. When God created Adam from the dust of the ground, what did He do? Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It comes from two lungs, Old and New Testament. Let's say that the left side is the Old Testament, because that's how my Bible's worked out. The left side is the Old Testament. Does the left lung only give air to the left side of the body? No. Because once that blood flows through both lungs and receives that oxygen, it then goes and is distributed to the entire body. You know what that means? Paul told Timothy, concerning the Old Testament, Paul told Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, that which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation. Timothy had the Old Testament and was reading it, and God saved him by His Word. What was the Ethiopian eunuch reading when Philip jumped in the car with him? Book of Isaiah is reading out of the Old Testament. Listen, that God breathed in the Old Testament just like He did the New Testament. Amen? Amen? But He said there were seven of those spirits. Now I want you to look up here for a minute. I'm going to try to do this.
Okay? You have a superior lobe right here. You have a middle lobe and you have an inferior lobe. You have three different sections of your right lung. Then over here, you have two different sections. Part of this, part of your left lung, has had to make room for something. Anybody want to guess what that is?
The heart.
The heart fits right in there. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lobes, and how many tubes running into them? 2. How many does that make? 7. And notice, how many tubes now, from the 7 parts of your lungs, how many tubes run up to your mouth and your nose? You know why? Because when we breathe, we don't just breathe. You know what? I need to fill my left lung. It doesn't work that way, does it? This Bible's one. Amen? Amen. I love this. Now watch this. Okay, you're going to like this. This is one of my favorite things. Okay? He said that he saw 7 golden candlesticks. Okay? Oh, I like this. This makes me happy. God told Moses how to make this candlestick, right down to the fine details of the decorations that he was supposed to put on that candlestick. And they mean something. The decorations on there, the Bible refers to them as a knop, a flower, and a bud. Okay? What is that from? That's from an almond tree. Okay? The 7 golden candlesticks look like what? A tree. They look like a tree. It's designed that way. It's built that way. Notice you have some on the left. Notice you have some on the right, but you've got one right down the middle. Let me go back to that. You got some on the left and some on the right and one right down the middle. Look up there. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. Over here, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say this is Israel and this is the Gentiles. There's room for all of us. Amen? In the ship of Zion, there's room for all of us in there. Now these knops and flowers and buds from an almond tree, you've got 3 on this one and 3 on this one. You've got 3 sets of 3. There's 1, 2, 3 decorations here, 3 decorations here, 3 decorations here. So you have 3, 6, 9 decorations here. Same number here, 3, 6, 9. That's 18 altogether. 3, 6, 9. How many is that? 27. You have 4 in the middle. 4 sets of 3. 1, 2, 3, 4. So 4 times 3 is what? 12. Add 12 to 27. 39. How many books are in the Old Testament? Exactly. 39 books. We don't even read, what is that, the Apocrypha? It ain't my Bible. God did not breathe those books. God did not inspire those books. So think about it. If there is 27 on this side and 12 in the middle, there would be how many on this side? 27. How many books are there in the New Testament? 27, exactly. Now do the math. 39 and 27 equals what? 66. Here's what God is showing you. The breath of the Holy Spirit is always going to come from the 66 books of your Bible. Woo! Amen! What did Jesus say? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Think about what he said. Think about what he said. They're spirit. Now watch this. You take the breath out of a man, what happens to him? That Sterling, that buck deer I shot, you shot one in that stand that morning, an 11-pointer, and a 9-pointer come that afternoon. Matthew saw it, and when I pulled my rifle up, had a scope on it, pulled my rifle up, and I put a bead on him, he had just turned and stopped and was looking behind. He had stopped like this and then turned his head like he was posing. Okay? For the Heart for Deer commercial. Remember that one? He stopped and just turned his head like this, and I'm going, oh, this is going to be easy. Kapow! And he dropped just like that. You know why? I blew his lungs to pieces. Okay, now that sounds a little gross anyway, but that's, hey, killings are, you know, when you eat the meat, you got to butcher the thing. Amen? But that deer dropped just like that. When you take this out,
There is no light. There is no breath. And God designed your lungs just like the seven golden candlesticks. Okay? That's how He did it. That's what He did. How can I say this? The seven candlesticks were on fire. They were burning. What does it take to burn? It takes oil, and it takes what? You cannot burn oil in a vacuum. What does it take? It takes air. When the blood, and this is what's neat, your blood cells, your red blood cells are all shaped like a cup. Every one of them. You know why? Because they carry oxygen and nutrients to all the cells. And when they carry those there, they hand them to the cells, and then the cells offload poisonous, toxic fumes from your cells, that the charred remains of your cells burning the nutrients and the oxygen in that lung or in that cell. What's the product of when you burn something? You get smoke, you get carbon, right? Smoke is carbon. What is it when you exhale? What is coming out of your lungs? Carbon dioxide. Smoke. The charred remains of the cells burning the nutrients, sugar, and the oxygen that the breath of life supplied to all the members of the body. You see, this Bible will not only give you life, it'll purge you of all that stuff you don't need anymore that's actually poison for you. You're the temple. You hear me out there in Kenya? You people out there that most of the world doesn't even give a thought to, God created you to be in the exact image of His throne and His temple in heaven. You are the temple of God. When I was in Migori, I told about the trouble that hit me when we first got out there. There was devils all over me saying, "Get out, you need to leave, you need to go, you need to go back home, get away from here." And I realized what it was. The next day I could tell a spiritual presence in that town. And the next day we were supposed to go preach outside of Migori, and we got out there, and knowing that the devil had fought me so hard from being out there, I just, "Lord, what do you want me to preach?" And this is what came to my mind. And I just said, "Everybody open your Bible to Revelation chapter 4. They had an interpreter there. And I began to teach some of these poor people that walked miles to get to this meeting. Began to teach them how special and unique they were as far as God's creation, and God made them to be the temple of God. You should have seen the interpreter. When I'd come up with something, the interpreter would look at me and go, "Huh?" I said, Tell him. And he would tell them in Swahili or Luo or whatever it was he was speaking. But I mean, I'm going to tell you something, man. Those people wept and they shouted and they danced. Okay? Because God made them to be the temple of God just like us. Listen, we're not better than anybody else. Cut out that nonsense. Amen? Now let's go back to Revelation. Let me pull the guts back up here. Okay? Revelation. Here's what I like. There was a rainbow around that throne. Ezekiel saw that same thing. He said, "That's the glory of God." Now, how is a rainbow significant? It has colors. Okay? You ever heard of the word chromosomes? You've heard me use the word chromosomes. The chromosomes are these little X-shaped cross. Actually, they're shaped like this. Okay? Like a cross. That's where all your DNA is stored. They called it chromosomes because when they first started seeing them through the microscope, they noticed that the chromo means color. They noticed that the chromosomes reacted very well to the different dyes that they were adding to what they were looking at in the microscope so they could differentiate one part of the cell from the other part of the cell. That's why they called it, listen, that's color. Amen? That's color. That's the glory of God. And the glory of God, the chromosomes are where the book is stored. And there's glory in this book. Somebody say amen. In fact, do this. I might be trampled on my sermon this morning. I won't have you turn there. I need to move on. In Exodus 16, the Bible says the cloud showed up and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud.
Exodus 16 is the 66th chapter of your Bible. It's perfect. It matches. You are the temple of God, written by this book right here.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes, amen.
However God made you, that's how He made you. Amen? You guys are obviously not from Kenya. Because the Kenyans by now would just be shouting and standing and clapping and everything like that. Okay? Now watch this. Here's the best part. We got the throne of God. That's the heart. We got the four chambers. That is the four living creatures. By the way, when they carried the Ark of the Covenant, how many Levite priests carried the Ark of the Covenant? There's four of them. And what sin did David commit in transporting the Ark of the Covenant? Why? Huh? He put it on a cart hauled by two oxen. Okay? It was against the law of God, and God caused a breach in what David wanted to do at that time. You remember that? It was Perez Uzzah, the breach of Uzzah. Uzzah reached over to get the Ark of the Covenant, and he died right then and there. God said, don't do that. Okay? You know what that means to me? There is no way of... See, the Ark is the mercy seat. There is no other way to the mercy seat of God other than the gospel of Jesus Christ written in the four books in your Bible.
Amen?
Man, I like this. So now watch this. Where were we? The roundabout throne, we had the rainbow, we got the four living creatures. Oh! Here we go. Let's see. Verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Now notice that word is S-E-A. There was an ocean surrounding the throne of God. You find that same thing in Ezekiel chapter 28 when the prince of Tyrus, who I think is Lucifer, says, I'm going to sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. When Solomon built the temple and he had the place for the Ark of the Covenant, he built a sea around it. So we know there's a sea around the throne of God. Surrounding your heart is a sac. It's called the pericardium. And it's full of salt water. Seawater. There's an ocean. Your heart is in the midst of a sea. When they pierced Jesus' side, when they wounded him with that spear, what came out? Water and blood. Where'd that water come from? The medical doctors say that because of his time there on the cross and the amount of pressure that was being put on his lungs and his heart began to swell. The sea, the pericardium around his heart began to fill with fluid. I think it's called congestive. When that sac gets too full of water, it bloats out. So when they run that spear up in him, that's what came out of him. Okay? There is an ocean surrounding the four-chambered heart where God sits on the throne in your body.
Amen.
Man! I should just preach this and go home because that's what I want to do anyway. Now, here's my favorite part. Verse 4. Round about the throne were 24 seats. How many is that? Some of you do the math real quickly. 4 plus 20. Yeah, I'm not as dumb as I thought. Okay? Some of you had your phone out. 4 plus 20. It's 24. Now here's what I like. I'm going to get off on this first. Okay? See those ribs up there? They make a complete circle around the menorah, the throne, the rainbow, the sea, the four living creatures. They make a complete circle around that. There's 24 of them exactly. 12 on one side and 12 on the other. Now, I remember when I saw that the first time. It's been several years ago. Brother George, I wept. I wept. Because it was real to me that God had made us to be the exact image of His temple. See, that's not just some spiritual metaphor that gives us fuzzy little happy thoughts. He meant exactly what He said. And He tells us, do not defile that temple. Now, some people say, oh, you shouldn't smoke cigarettes, shouldn't eat bacon, shouldn't eat NutraSweet, shouldn't eat anything that causes harm to your body. Let me tell you something. Everything in this world is corrupt. There's not anything that you can eat in this world that's going to make you live
longer than God said. Not a thing. I believe in healthy eating. I absolutely do. But I'm just telling you, if the thrust of your mind and your life is to eat only certain foods so that you can live for however long, God's already wrote down how long you're going to live. Okay? You don't have control over that like you think. But anyway, here's what I'm saying to you. Now I got to remember what I'm saying to you. What was I talking about? The ribs. Here, I like this. Okay? I was weeping about this, and I knew that God had ordained 12 tribes in the Old Testament. God had ordained 12 apostles in the New Testament. And I asked the Lord this question. Which side is the Gentiles and which side is Israel? Okay? Now look at your Bible. Your Bible's laid out where the right hand is the New Testament. The left hand is the Old Testament. Okay? Now that sounds good. You say, well, okay, let me give you some scripture. When God was given the fine details of everything that was to be done in the tabernacle, He told Moses, He said, I want you to make a breastplate. And I want you to put 12 jewels in there. And above those 12 jewels, I want you to write the name of every tribe of Israel, all 12, on that breastplate. Okay? Now, I want you to look up here. Remember what we saw earlier. We saw that the left lung has a hole in it. Because that's where what goes? When we say a pledge to the flag, what do? We put our right hand over our heart because it's in the center and it touches the right side of the sternum, but it is mostly here. Now I'm going to give you this scripture. You go read this for yourself. God said, I want you to take that breastplate, write the names of the tribes of Israel on it, and put it on Aaron. So that when Aaron, listen to this now, when Aaron is the type of Jesus Christ, when Aaron goes into the most holy place with the blood of sprinkling 7 times to atone for the sins of Israel, the names of the children of Israel would be on his heart when he did it. Isn't that something? Listen, I want to shout. I'm afraid I'll keel over. Yes, God loves you Gentiles. Don't ever forget where his heart is. Don't ever forget that. His heart is for those 12 tribes. He made promises to them that He's not going to break. And if God breaks His promises to Israel, who do you think you are? Amen? So let me ask you, do you believe that you're the temple of God? God designed you, built you. I probably am skipping some of this stuff. I just like it so much. But anyway, God designed you right down to the fine details that you are the temple of Almighty God, and God seeks to dwell in the temples not made with hands. And all the design of this temple, of the tabernacle that God gave to Moses, Moses wrote it all, he wrote every bit of it down. If you go study Exodus, he wrote every bit of it down. Even to the curtains and the little rings that was to hold the curtains on, they were all written down. Everything about your body is written down in your DNA. So, Sterling, you built a house. Anybody else here ever built a house or was over a house being built? You had blueprints. You got the blueprints and they started building it, and all of a sudden your wife said or you said, that won't work. So what has to be done? You got to change the blueprints. Because that's going to tell the design of this house. Your DNA is the blueprints of how your body is right now. If they change the DNA, they have altered the blueprints. Amen. Amen. That God already had in place. The moment you were conceived. In fact, before there ever was a world, God already had it set. If you change or alter that blueprint, that house is now built with hands. And God will not dwell in it. And I'm saying this, and I'm going to get more into this as we move along. I'm saying this because I am telling you, in the next 10 years, in the next 10 years, maybe sooner, they will publicly begin altering people's DNA for medical reasons. But it won't stop there. Because remember what happens when you spill the bucket. You cannot put it back in. And the bucket has been spilled on this technology. And now, think of North Korea. Think of China. Think of Russia. Think of the Middle Eastern states and how much money they have and how much money they can spend on altering DNA. And they don't go by our laws and morals. That's obvious. Amen? Amen.